Okay, you ready, Steph?
Yeah. Do you want to add this to the, I don't know what it won for, I'll have to look, check, but to the background, Suicide Squad just won an Oscar.
Yes. Welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. It's that show where we give you all the geekly news from last week, you know, weekly geekly. I'm your co-host as always, Dom, aka Brother Dom, everywhere you ever need to find me. And once again, I'm joined by the latest, the greatest, the sweetest, and the neatest. Would you like to tell people who you are?
I am Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, the Snow Queer on Tumblr, and we are recording this while the Oscars are going on, and we are just reeling a little bit from some news that I just saw on my Twitter timeline right before we started recording. So
yes, I'll probably leave it in as like before the music starts, but as you may or may not know, you want to tell them the news you just told me?
Yeah, so just as soon as we were about to start, I looked at my phone and discovered that Suicide Squad is now an Oscar-winning movie.
Oh, we did it, y'all. We've done it. Is it the only superhero movie with an Oscar?
I mean, I don't know. It was makeup and hairstyling for what it's worth, which, God, I don't know. I mean, I know that typically genre films end up nominated for more technical Oscars, so it's possible that other superhero films have won Oscars.
Was La La Land in that nomination? Like, did La La Land get beat by Suicide Squad?
That I don't know.
Because I want to live in a world where that's true.
Yeah, same. And there is some justice in the world also. Mahershala Ali just won Best Supporting Actor.
For what?
So, I think Moonlight.
Oh. Cottonmouth, right?
Yeah, the guy who plays Cottonmouth.
I should really watch the rest of Luke Cage.
Yeah.
Episode 2 and 3 were pretty good, but I heard it got better. Anyway, this is Geekly Reveal, everyone. It's Oscar season. The movies are all abound. Everything is... The world is going on. So speaking of, I guess, golden statues and rock-type things, you want to get into some recap from last week?
Yeah, so I guess as long as Steven Universe is regularly airing, we are going to be bringing it up every week. So last week's episode was Rocknaldo, which was one of the first Ronaldo-centric episodes that didn't make me want those 11 minutes back.
Really?
Frankly. I feel like Ronaldo episodes are always just like, really? There's so many other stories you could be telling, and the snake people is the thing, like...
I mean, at least with that episode, that was purely like, hey, we're gonna tell you about the cluster, but we're not gonna let you know what it is yet.
Yeah, like...
I mean, it seems like everything he says tends to come true in, like, a warped kind of way. So I was just trying to figure out what he got right in this episode, and it didn't seem to be much. It just seemed to be, like, him being a douche.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm upset with the Crooniverse, though. They put a nice little Facebook post up. Can you guess who this rock's gonna be? Who this gem's gonna be? And everyone got hype. It's like a red and green gem something. And, oh, crap, Garnet might fuse with Peridot finally, or Steven and Peridot are green and red. And my hopes were dashed.
Yeah, so in this episode, Ronaldo, in the spirit of learning more about the Crystal Gems, decides to join the Crystal Gems and takes on, like, his own, like, gemsona as Bloodstone, which is, like, easily the most edgelord name of any rock on the face of our planet.
I mean, you know, if you ever wanted to do a crossover between... any edgy character works, really. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's okay, it's completely just, like, lost my train of thought. So, in this episode, yeah, he joins the Crystal Gems, and he takes on his, like, gemsona, but he immediately makes it, like, all about himself, and wants to go on missions right away, and accuses Stephen of only letting Connie go on missions because she's his girlfriend.
Which is funny that, I'm sorry, go ahead, I'll interject later.
No, do it.
It seems like Renato is this weird stand-in for the, he's like this audience surrogate in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he says things that if you were a little bit more of a dick, but had the knowledge the community had, you would still say. Like, he made a gem soda, like, he has a Tumblr blog, he's like, oh yeah, you and Connie are dating. It's like, when do you even see them in the same spot, to be honest?
Yeah, frankly.
Like, where is Renato hanging out that he just knows that Connie gets to go on missions? I don't, like, how much does Renato know?
Where's all his surveillance, like? But,
maybe it's Onion. Maybe Onion is his surveillance.
So, ultimately, like, Steven gets angry at Renato for making it all about him and calls him out on it, and in fine, like, capital D discourse form, Renato turns it right back around and says, well, aren't the Crystal Gems supposed to be about being accepting and kind to people? Like, what? You're not being very accepting of me right now. Like,
so-called tolerant gems.
Yeah. So-called tolerant gems. Not tolerating my ignorance and, like, appropriation, basically.
You're the real gemist here.
Exactly. So, So Stephen lays down the law and says, you are making this all about yourself. This isn't what, like, that's not what being a gem is about. If you want to be part of, the Crystal Gems, like, you can't just come in here and demand everything right away and make it about yourself. It's about learning and, like, an exchange of information.
Yeah. And it... You know, they kind of resolve that through, just they resolve it, they talk about it, and towards the end of the episode, I guess Renato and Steven actually do have some sort of dialogue where Renato's goal is to try to help people understand the Crystal Gems rather than fear them without kind of being in their way, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, spreading misinformation about them, because that was the whole reason that Renato came to Steven's house in the first place, was because he was passing out these pamphlets. What did he call them? Like,
He portmanteaued it, and it wasn't graceful at all.
he was passing out these Renolflets that had all kind of misinformation about how the gems work and what they're there to do, and Steven was like, this is bad. But then also the way Renato was interacting with the gems was differently bad. It was just like a whole thing.
Yeah, it seemed like he was sincere when he was spreading the disinformation that he thought it was true. Like, he wasn't trying to slander them, he just technically was. He thought he was, I don't know, there seems to be like a weird sincerity with his nonsense that's, I don't know, he seemed genuinely remorseful when Steven was like, bro, this is all wrong.
Yeah. He was like, yeah, because he was like, I'm so glad you're the only one who actually took a Renolflet, because, like, I'm embarrassed that I was passing these out if everything in it is wrong.
I mean, he's evolving as a character. He's come further than Lars and Buck Dewey have.
Yeah.
Which is very minimally. Okay, well, speaking of people who haven't come a long way and are doing the same things they were when everything started, you want to drop this on us again?
Yeah, so, a cycle that I suspect will continue until either he dies or the heat death of the universe sets in. Hayao Miyazaki has once again come out of retirement to start another film. He was, I guess, he was consulting or something with, I think, Takahata on the most recent film that Studio Ghibli put out, and Takahata approached him with some other concept that he was like, I don't know if you like this or not, but here it is. And they were like, he was like, I didn't want to say that I Miyazaki came to them with a concept. He was like, I didn't want to say that I liked it because I didn't want him to have to come out of retirement again to make it. But it was really good, so I told him I liked it. And now he's back out of retirement again.
So. This is my shocked face. This is my shocked voice. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
He came out of retirement again.
Very surprised that this dude can't just, like, go, like, sit and calm himself. And
I mean, in a way, he's like, the Jay-Z of anime, you know? We keep hearing that they'll retire, and we're like, okay, buddy, okay. Well, I don't have much else to say on that.
It's not like, the articles I saw about it didn't give any information about the backgrounds or, like, what the movie he's going to be working on is, or, like, anything like that, but
it'll be beautiful and speak to the human experience. But
probably have kind an environmental message of some sort, you know, the drill. Strong female protagonist with short haircut.
Ooh, you know. Like the Whedon-verse. I'm just kidding. Okay. And then we got local favorites, Oscar Isaac and Keegan-Michael Key, going to be in Hamlet. Hamlet? What do we got here?
So, it was just announced this week, the Public Theater, which one may recall as the theater where Hamilton previewed before it moved to the Richard Rogers, is going to be doing a run of Hamlet this summer. Tickets for plebes like me don't go on sale until March 9th, which is actually relatively soon. And they're doing a longer run than usual, probably because it's Oscar Isaac and Keegan-Michael Key. But they will be playing Hamlet and Horatio, respectively. Even though I kind of swore off any Hamlet ever after spending an entire semester on Hamlet as my intro lit class in college, I would literally watch Oscar Isaac read the dictionary, so I will be there.
And hear him read it or just watch him read it?
Oh, I mean both.
Okay.
But, I mean, the visual and the audio are both very appealing, so.
Which Oscar Isaac are we talking here? I mean, because there's many Oscar Isaacs. What's your favorite Oscar Isaac interpretation?
That's difficult. For right now I'm going to say Star Wars Interview Circuit Oscar Isaac.
Very nice.
Not okay. Star Wars Oscar Isaac, although I do love Poe Dameron.
That's a good-looking guy. I'll give him that.
So
it's a damn fine pilot, in two senses of the word. And the other half of Key and Peele, Keegan-Michael Key, he's a very hilarious guy and one of the best improvisers in comedy, from all accounts. So, a great actor. He always sold those sketches in Key and Peele, so I'm sure these two will set the stage on fire metaphorically.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe even literally. They do crazy stuff in some of these Shakespeare adaptations.
One can only hope. This stage is on fire.
Yeah.
Well, that horrible note, singing note, let's go into some good music, actually. And we'll see you all after the break. Hello, and welcome back to Oscar Watch 2017, Geekly Reveal. We're keeping an eye on the Oscars just because why not give you live updates to something that you're going to be hearing in the future? OJ Made America, Best Documentary Feature, and Best Costume Design went to Colleen Atwood for Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. So, yeah, More and more. And we already talked about Best Supporting Actor, or was that before the podcast?
No, we talked about him.
Okay, cool. No, that wait. Yeah. How do you say his name?
Mahershala
Ali. Yeah, Mr. Cottonmouth. I thought we talked about that in the pre-roll. It doesn't matter, audience. It's all good. You can search the stuff anyway.
No, it was in the real role because we started out with the Suicide Squad and then talked about him afterward.
Okay. that's the world we live in now.
Yep.
Well, you ready for this transition? Speaking of influential black people, let's go to fake ones. And here's more Overwatch news. Check it out. They're introducing another character in some capacity. Her name is Effie. I'm not sure the best way to pronounce African names, so I won't butcher them. But she's pretty much a child genius who is about, I guess, 12 right now or 11. Real young, but essentially won a grant and is making robots and machines and all that kind of stuff, and hopes to one day build a replacement to the current security bots that are in the Numbani Airport, which is their African city that's kind of like has a Wakanda vibe. People have mentioned it to have, where Lucio plays shows. And in the newest update to the public test region, like where they kind of pre-test everything for the game, you see that the Numbani Airport is really wrecked, and the androids that were the robots that Effie wanted to replace actually have been destroyed by what appears to be something that provides blunt damage. So maybe Doomfist is back. Ooh, we don't know yet. And his gauntlet is stolen from that stage, which you normally escort. So people are thinking Doomfist will be arriving this Tuesday, or at least a cinematic about him, along with competitive season number 4. Steph, have you seen any of the stuff about Effie?
I've seen a little bit about Effie. I haven't seen any of the like potential plot development stuff, and because I am terrified of playing competitive, I have not. Actually, I don't even think I'm leveled high enough to play competitive. But
well, you don't have to be competitive to see these changes.
True.
You have to just download second. Yeah, you have to just download a second instance of Overwatch. It's like their pre-test realm, which is something you only do if you want to test changes before they go live, which is not something that most people do. In fact, it's not something that a lot of people do, to the point that they were like, hey, you know how you guys complain about changes on our forums? Well, we actually have the data that says only like 2% of our player base even tries them out. So I think a lot of you are just complaining without actually trying them out. And the community was like, oh, you caught us on that one. We were just watching YouTube videos. Also, speaking of Overwatch a little bit, kind of tangentially related, Jeff Kaplan, the lead designer, I can't remember, the main guy.
Someone big involved with the design of Overwatch.
Yeah, the guy who always does the community updates. He gave a talk at DICE, which is kind of a gaming developers convention. I forget the acronym, but it's like an innovation conference.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the keynote speaker. He talked about Overwatch and world building and how they kind of went from trying to make a successor to WoW with the game called Titan, and how it ended up being Overwatch. And he pointed out that there's a lot of stuff in the world. He's like, you know, we're used to these fictional places like StarCraft or Warcraft's worlds or even Diablo's world, but we've struggled with a place that's just Earth, but maybe a little bit in the not so distant future. And their main question was kind of, you know, what makes Earth cool? And at first it's kind of like an eye rolly, like, why would nerds need to know what's cool about the world? Like, come on. Mm-hmm. But then you think about, like, no, we live in this world and it's a very mundane, really. What could be cool about it? And he kind of talked about how that all led to the different designs of characters. And he's like, you know, people applauded us for being diverse, and we don't really want to take credit for that. We just wanted to make something that was sort of mirrored the world.
Looked like the real world.
And he's like, you know, we make a game that, even if your country or culture isn't represented in Overwatch currently, it doesn't feel impossible that it would be. So they don't have anybody from... I'm trying to think of somewhere they don't have someone explicitly from. They don't have anybody explicitly from, let's say, Spain, I don't think. But
No,
you're
there's
like,
no
oh,
way.
my, like, oh, I'm Spanish. Maybe an Overwatch character could be Spanish. Like, that doesn't seem fake because there's people from all over the world and,
Yeah, it doesn't seem like an unreal possibility.
right. And he talked about how huge the fan community is and, like, how much they care and how fervent they are. And he showed, like, some cosplay that people are doing, and he showed how D.Va's become, like, a symbol for feminism in South Korea, which is, how the hell would you even imagine that that was going to be a side effect of your game that was supposed to be a WoW successor that turned out to be a first-person shooter? And he was talking about how, like, at the women's marches, and, you know, there's all these articles you can read online. I'll try to link one in the show notes. But one of the protesters at the Women's March in South Korea was like, we're protesting now so that by 2060, when Overwatch takes place, someone like D.Va actually could exist. And I'm like, that's powerful shit. Like, that's the
Right,
coolest
so
thing.
it's so cool to see like that kind of like inspire like what the thing you created inspiring real activism, basically.
Yeah, like,
Or even just like a thing you enjoy, even if it's not the thing you actually made, like to see that the extent that media can have an influence on society, because that's how that
well,
works. Hey.
and it's they kind of stumbled into that because they were like, because there's a stereotype that South Koreans are amazing at video games, which is, you know, it's a stereotype, but there are a lot of good gamers from South Korea in the StarCraft realm. Blizzard would know that as they've developed StarCraft. But, like, you know, we're just adding characters. This character could be anybody. Like, why not a 19-year-old girl who ends up leading, like, a mech rebellion? Like, just because, why wouldn't it be? And there's a big problem where, like America, but apparently worse, that they don't see girls as gamers over there, despite the fact that they totally exist. So by saying, hey, in 2060, there's a girl who helped save the whole entire country who plays StarCraft, which is kind of a self-plug in a way that they blow one of
Yeah.
their games in another.
Yeah, by the way, StarCraft exists in
So does Hearthstone, in case you were
the
curious. No word on if Blizzard does yet, or if
Wow,
Warcraft
those,
does.
yeah. Can you imagine like I don't know.
Well, it must actually, because, like, D.Va has her mech suit, but also has, like, her sponsors, like all the gaming companies that she, like, plays for, and she has a Blizzard logo on her leg. So you're like, okay, well, she obviously plays StarCraft. So is this a world where StarCraft exists? And you'd imagine World of Warcraft must, and so does Hearthstone that people play. So do people play Overwatch in
In
Overwatch?
Overwatch.
Which, that's why
Too
Sombra knows
meta.
so much, because she's just playing Overwatch. Like, I know everything that you're going to do. How? Because I played this game. Come on, grow up. She's basically Deadpool. Sombra is Blizzard's Deadpool. You've heard it here first, folks.
The hottest of takes.
Is it the hottest of takes?
Not
I'm sure
really.
there was.
She already has that kind of that like behavior like model, like the kind of like I'm doing this for me, even though like whether like screw the rest of you, like regardless of my like allies, and I'm also gonna be really cute about it. Like
Yes, the Deadpool MO. I love Sombra because she has basically no allegiance to anybody. And she's like, oh yeah, I definitely want to go on this mission with you, Reaper and Widowmaker, because I'm essential to breaking into this facility. Breaks into the facility, now I'm going to purposely sabotage it because I don't give a shit about why you're here. That's my kind of character. That's the kind of person I want to be one day.
Good stuff.
And Get Out came out this weekend. Did you see Get Out?
I did not because I am a terrible horror watcher. I have nightmares for weeks, regardless of how terrible the movie is, so.
Okay, well, I would like to, I'm guessing, do your nightmares happen because it's things that could feasibly happen to
Not necessarily.
you?
The ring fucked me up. Like.
I mean, the ring could happen to anybody. I mean, it won't, but it could.
Yeah, oh, yeah, so, like, it's not like, I am equally unsettled by things with paranormal stuff as things that are just like the strangers kind of thing, like
Yo, the stranger was fucking terrifying.
but so like the magic content of something doesn't specify whether or not I will be. Okay.
I was gonna say Get Out probably can't happen to you.
Yeah, probably not.
But there's enough of a chance. It can happen to anybody. It's Jordan Peele. We talked about Key a little bit. Time to talk about Peele. It's his first directorial movie. And everyone's like, it's believable, but it's so unbelievable, this first movie. It has 100% of Rotten Tomatoes as of recording, which is 100% fresh, which is not the same as a perfect score, but very few movies get 100% favorable ratings. I want to see it, even though I'm a big chicken, and I know I'll... it's a movie I want to support, because I want to support this kind of thing, like black people making movies about like the terrors of racism. To mm-hmm. those who don't know, it's a black guy is dating this white girl, and he goes home to meet her parents, and he's like, they might have a problem with the fact that I'm black. She's like, no, they won't. And spoiler alert, they do. And by spoiler alert, I mean watch the trailer and understand what's going on. But it kind of has like a Stepford Wives kind of vibe to it, apparently. And apparently it works as a commentary, as straight up horror, and it's funny. And the more I think about it, the more I just want to buy a ticket to this movie and send somebody else, because the idea of racial-based horror while living in southwestern Pennsylvania does not seem like something that I need to enforce in my brain. It's a little too real. It's like, oh yeah, this is imaginary, like the Blair Witch, or like a documentary. Yeah, so the more I think about it, the more I'm like, I might just buy a ticket, and I don't know, man. I don't know if I actually want to see this movie now. But it sounds really good, and I do want to know what happens in the movie, and I want to see the cinematography of it. But as soon as the horror starts, actually, no, the horror won't be the scariest part. It's the real stuff that'll be scary. I don't know how to handle this, Steph.
I don't know what to tell you.
Isn't there like a... There has to be a movie equivalent of this, like, for women, right?
I don't know. I know there's... I am not the person to talk to about horror movies.
That's fair.
Get Asia back on. But there's definitely, like... I mean, like, The Babadook was a scary movie that was also about depression. Follows was a scary movie that was also about, like... whatchamacallit, sex and STDs and like the stigma of sexual activity.
Okay, yeah, I don't want to see that either because your boy's a deviant.
It's like there's like a creature that follows you and you have to have sex with someone and then it starts following them, I think, or that's, something like that. Like,
that's
it gets closer and closer, like.
That's a terrifying premise. Wow, yeah, that definitely says something about the creator when you write some shit like that. Well, back to Get Out.
Let's come bring it back around.
You know, I don't think it does, but I know part of it is kind of humorous, and I just, as soon as I heard the title of it, I'm like, are they gonna play JoJo's Leave,
Get Out. Right,
like,
now, that one.
Yes, that one. That song's a masterpiece. But back to Get Out, Chance the Rapper bought up a whole theater for, I think, some Chicago theater or theaters. I don't remember the details, but essentially he was like, hey, yo, just pull up, show them an ID that says you're 21, and you get in. I already bought out the theater. And someone, like, had, like, a scanner, like a police scanner recording, and they're like, hey, so I'm reading this report that said Chance the Rapper bought out this theater. There's not really an issue, but, you know, just be aware that there might be a large gathering. So, just be aware. And the guy's like, yeah, I don't think there's going to be a problem, but we'll just kind of scope out the area. But that's a really cool thing to do. That's using your wealth for something that helps other people, really, really funding the arts, if you will.
Yeah. It's not just funding. It's useful in a couple ways because it supports the film. It helps people who might not otherwise have the money to go see a movie on the weekends, go see the movie. I don't know. It's good all around. I love it when people do that.
Yeah, you're supporting a product and you're getting people the chance to see it. And that's, access to art is, I think, a hugely important thing. I try to go on and on about it. And unfortunately, it is has a luxury aspect to it. You know, no one's going to pass away directly, I don't think, if they don't consume enough art. They might live a very unfulfilled life. But
yeah.
So it's not a need in the traditional sense, but most people I know have a minor crisis if they leave their headphones at home before they go to work. And that's totally a first world problem. But out of the first world problems that we have that are exclusive to the first world, so, you know, corrupt government is not a first world problem. As far as first world problems go, I'm going to put that up there as one of the top 10, like not access to music / portable entertainment is, of all things that I can live without, but I'd rather not. So yeah, I'm glad Chance the Rapper is helping to support a movie or helping to support people seeing it. So I think that's all we got for this section. So we're going to go to another break and hit you all with some music. If I could afford the licensing fees, I'd play you some Chance the Rapper music. I cannot. So here's something else that's pretty good. We'll see you after the break.
That music that was not Chance the Rapper. We are back with the last segment of our show. It is going to be stuff we got this week, because we actually got some stuff this week. In the meantime, we've also got two more Oscars, both of them technical Oscars, one for Hacksaw Ridge and one for Arrival, which, again, genre films almost always end up getting the technical Oscars and none of the big name Oscars, but I'm hoping Arrival maybe pulls some stuff in, because it's a really interesting story and like a more like thinky sci-fi. So see how that goes.
My money's in Moonlight, even though I haven't seen it. I'm just hoping for black excellence.
I would love for Moonlight to win all of the awards.
But we know how the Hollywood hand job goes, so you know. Looking forward to La La Land getting at least one more Oscar than they deserve.
Yeah, I was going to say, they haven't won any yet, actually, but more than they deserve is likely. So, Dom, I hear you got some stuff this week.
I did. I think it was this week. At least it was after we recorded last time. I went and got that Humble Freedom Bundle that we talked about before. So many games in there. I'm sure you could find the list somewhere. I don't want to name them all, because there was over 30 games. It was like, I think, $600 worth of like games, comics, and audiobooks and stuff. Just a ridiculous amount. So I donated my $30. Tried to give most of it to Doctors Without Borders. Haven't heard anything negative about Doctors Without Borders, and I think that's a really good foundation or group. I was always familiar with Engineers Without Borders, as that's my background is in engineering, but I assume Doctors Without Borders does the exact same thing, but with doctoring instead of engineering-ing.
Yeah.
Two ings. But yeah, I picked that up. So there's a lot of games in there I'm looking forward to playing. Chroma Squad, Read Only Memories, different stuff like that. What about you? You get anything this week, Steph?
I am not... It's not a secret, but I'm not super at liberty to talk about it. Like, no one's told me one way or the other not to talk about it, but I've got a new job, so I will be commuting. It's very exciting. Possibly we'll explicate upon it in more detail next week. But as a side effect of the new job, I have a new commute, and I'll be working a little bit earlier in the morning, and so I will not probably be sitting in my apartment before I leave for work to eat breakfast. So I got a very cool travel mug. I did not have a travel mug before. So that I can transport coffee to with me as I travel to work.
What brand is it?
Well, it's from Redbubble, because I wanted something that was...
Okay.
It's whatever the standard brand that Redbubble uses for their travel mugs, but I wanted something that had, like, a fun exterior on it. I did not end up... I sent Dom a picture of a travel mug that had the Michael Secret Stuff
I remember you sending that.
From Space Jam. I did not actually buy the Mike Secret Stuff travel mug. I got one with, like, a rainbow dinosaur on it, but...
When did you send that to me?
Like, 2 weeks ago. Not 2 weeks. It hasn't been that long, but... Since I got the drop. Viola Davis, One for Fences.
Oh, that's, yeah. As,
two for two black actors in the awards so far.
For best actress or supporting? Supporting.
Supporting for both of them, but...
Okay. The Oscars like, y'all ain't making another hashtag about us. But they forget that people of color are starting to stick together. So when inevitably black people are the only people of color that show up, we're going to be like, y'all ain't off the hook yet. Because diversity only works when we all stick together. But definitely happy to see black people winning. Awesome.
Yes. But you were saying something when I cut you off with that. About the Secret Stuff, maybe?
I was saying, out of the 2 weeks this month that I was able to drink, because there were special occasions that broke my no drink in February rule, when you sent me the Secret Stuff coffee mug, was that one of the weeks that I was drinking, or was I, like, just passed out tired?
Because
I have only the slightest memory. I'm like, wait, that sounds like it happened, but I don't remember it at all. Oh, no. Well, that's the world we live in now. Okay. That's all the stuff we got. You wanna play a little game to just fill like 5 more minutes?
Sure.
Let's look at the fresh ratings on Rotten Tomatoes. In honor of Get Out having 100% as of recording, let's look at some stuff that's not Get Out. So opening
like
this week,
Rock Dog.
Like Rock Dog. What the hell is Rock Dog?
I had never even heard of it until I think there was a preview before Rogue One. It's this very confused looking animated, like CGI animated feature about a dog who's like a monastery guard in Nepal, and like it's like Sing or something, like the animals are the characters, but like he runs away, he finds like a radio and hears rock music for the first time, so he runs away from his job as a monastery guard to go be in a band, like
in the band
for the band.
It doesn't, you know, it honestly doesn't look like the worst thing I've ever seen.
Like it looks semi-cute, but I don't have no idea what the actual point is. Or not point, but, like, what the goal of the movie is. Like, what the message is. Like, follow your dreams, probably. Like,
maybe. I mean, speaking of Scott Pilgrim references, Mae Whitman's in there. Kenan's in there. Kenan Thompson. J. Jonah Jameson's in there. Lewis Black's in there.
I mean, it's got quite the cast.
I mean, the thing is, it has a 5.7, so like the tomato meter is not fair representation, because 5.7 is definitely passable. Take your kids to see it.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's trying to rip off DreamWorks Pixar. Is it a DreamWorks or Pixar film? I don't think it is.
No,
it's from Summit Premiere. Yeah, they definitely ripped off the style. What else we got? Lego Batman movie still cleaning up. The Great Wall's not doing so great.
Hey.
4.9, 35%. Even the audience doesn't like it very much. Maybe, I don't know. The review I saw said that it was interesting but not good. And even if you take out like the problematic, like kind of racist stuff from it, it's just not that fantastic. But there was probably a good story in there somewhere. So yeah. There's that.
50 Shades Darker is at 8%.
Fresh. That's terrific. That's just amazing. That's the world we're living in.
Yeah, only 50% of the audience liked it, and the average rating is only 3.5.
So yeah, the critics gave it a 3.4 and the audience gave it a 3.3 out of 5. That's a little high. Huh. Well, you know what? This seemed to come out to like no fanfare. Like I haven't been watching as much TV, and I guess I don't get YouTube ads anymore. Has this been like in the news a lot or like
I've media? Seen posters for it and stuff like out and about, but I haven't. I mean, like it's not the kind of movie that's easy to advertise on. Fair. like on regular TV, and the TV I watch is mostly either cooking channel or Forensic Files, like true crime repeats. So
you know, I have a feeling there's not going to be a 50 Shades Darker bump right between Clarence and Steven Universe, so
yeah. Not between like Cooks versus Cons and Chopped either, so
Cooks versus Cox, you know, that's the 50 Shades tagline.
The porn parody of Cooks versus Cons.
We should do an episode that talks about porn parodies, because that was there's more and more coming out to different levels of like faithfulness and sincerity. So someone did make an Overwatch parody called Overcrotch instead of Oversnatch. Like someone actually utilized it.
Oh, I would have gone with Overwank.
That should exist.
The British porn should parody.
That's the one with Hanzo and McCree. It's Overwank. But so this one that I found, it's in VR. So I thought like it was. I used my tablet to look at this. So like you could still do the thing where you use the gyroscope to look around.
Uh-huh.
But it was like in two, like, visions. I don't know how to. There was two screens on the main screen. So I'm like, this is VR porn. And they like used a legit Tracer and Widowmaker costume. Like someone built an accelerator for Tracer to be in this porn parody. And when I saw that, I'm like, well, now I'm not even in the mood. I am on research mode now, and I'm just looking around, and there's a Suicide Squad one that has stupidly high production values. Like, it has Harley. No, it has Katana and Deadshot. And the weirdest thing is watching a porn actress who, to my understanding, is not, like, a cinematic actress. She was just a porn actress. Has to wear this Katana costume while performing an act on not Will Smith, but like wearing like the mask she wore. Like Deadshot has like his eye visor and there's like armor, and I'm like, this had like a cosplay budget. Like this porn had a cosplay budget. It was used fairly effectively. And the level of entertainment I got from this in a non-sexual way was way higher than it had any right to be. But I am a huge fan of porn parodies, especially when they have a quirky title. And if I had a studio, I would definitely produce Overwank. Thanks for that name.
My pleasure.
I mean, that's the motto, is my pleasure.
Yeah.
of my fictional studio. Well, that's enough.
I was going to say, there's a note to end on.
That's a note to end on. Well, before we go, I want to say RIP Bill Paxton.
Oh, true, yeah.
Something actually serious instead of just the nonsense I've been yammering on about for the past few minutes. Anyway, we'll say he actually liked some of that nonsense somehow. I'm not sure what's wrong with you, but I appreciate your love and support. And you want to hear more of us, or maybe read more from us, you can catch me anywhere on the internet. Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, as Brother Dom. That's BROTHADOM. If you look brother, you won't find me. You can find Steph on Twitter at Captain Steph, or on Tumblr at The Snow Queer. Insert icy gay joke here. You can find us both writing at the Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog. It's an intersectional feminist nerd blog at ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com. You can find this podcast itself on Twitter at Character Rev. That's character, then another R, EV. So two R's in the middle on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook by searching Character Reveal. You should recognize the curtains logo. You can also find us on Stitcher, Google Play Podcasts, iTunes, or directly at characterreveal.simplecast.fm. And I believe that is everything. Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow, we did it. Shorter than normal, it feels like. Who knows?
In under an hour.
In under an hour, that global warming's really getting to me. I hope it's a nice climate wherever you are. And happy Mardi Gras, happy Fat Tuesday, Ash Wednesday if you're a celebrator of those things. And until next time, see you later.
Bye.